Actually, today is a happy day. I want to acknowledge it because our third boy was born. Zion was born on September 18th. So this morning I decided not to come early. And we decided to celebrate his birthday. And I just love that little boy. He's just full of joy. That's the one that looks like me that has a man bun. For those of you who don't know. Walks around and runs around. Although the school started, so mama was like, you know what, we're cutting it off because we don't want hair going into his eyes and stuff like that. But he's just the joy of our life. So today's his birthday, and we're just happy to have him with us. But on that note, one of the most amazing things that I love to do as a parent and as a dad is I drive my kids to school every morning. I don't know if there's any parents here that drive their kids to school. Can I see your hands? Okay, there's a couple of you guys. Maybe you used to do that when you were younger, you know. Or maybe you're going to do that one day when you have kids. But, man, I use that time. To be exact, with traffic, it's about 8.5 minutes. With no traffic, it's 7. When we're rushing, it's like 5 minutes to get to school. Because I have to press the gas. But those 5 to 10 minutes that I spend with my boys are the most amazing 5-10 minutes that I get to spend with them. Because I turn off the radio, even though Pastor Ken's show is on. And I love Pastor Ken. But no offense. I turn all the radio off. I turn all the music off. And we just have a quality time conversation in the mornings. On the way to school, on the way back. We actually do a little devotional. We share some thoughts. You know, I ask them questions. They respond. We pray. And I just send them off. Bye. I love you. See you later. Blah, blah, blah. And also when I pick them up from school, do the same thing. How was school? Go more into depth. Was there anything that happened? You know, we chat. So I use my car time with my boys to really connect on a deeper level and have a conversation. I know some people just turn up the music and watch the cartoon or get the iPad or iPhone or whatever. But I find those times the most precious times that I can have with my kids. And today I want to speak to you about the most precious time that we have as Christians. And that is the time of prayer. And I want to speak on prayer. And actually, the title of my message is Start Praying. You know, our theme for this year is Start. And we've been talking about starting a lot of things. But I don't think we've spoken on this topic yet. And I know some people in the house really love me for this topic. Our prayer warriors and people that, you know, are really into prayer. But this is one of the topics that the prayer is one of those things that I'm actually trying to get better at, even though I'm a pastor. You know, I try to cultivate that prayer life daily. There's days that I just don't feel like praying, and my prayers will not be maybe the greatest, but they're still prayers. But I feel like this is an area that we all need to work on. And I remember growing up, I grew up in church. So growing up, I thought that prayer was just a ritual. You know, I remember my dad telling us, you know, the Lord's Prayer and then going to church. And I actually thought that I need to go to church to pray. There's some misconceptions because I come from Eastern Europe and everybody there is very Orthodox or Catholic, mostly Orthodox. So church is this glorified place where everybody goes to pray. Everybody, if you need to pray, you got to go to church. So, you know, rubbing shoulders with my friends my whole life, I thought, yeah, up until I was about 16 or 15, my teenage years, even though I was going to a church, I didn't fully grasp or realize that actually prayer is like, you can do it anywhere. Like, you don't have to go to church to pray. It's good to come together corporately. But prayer is something that we should do on our own anywhere. So when I actually realized that, what I did to remind myself of it was I wrote a little thing on a paper and I put it right above my bed where I was sleeping. And I just wrote, prayer is talking to God. Something like that. It was something along in Serbian, a little different, but So I was always reminded when I wake up, when I go to bed, like this is what prayer is and I should do it. So moving on now, realizing that actually prayer is not only talking to God, but it's like God wants to talk to me about everything. Not only about big things and when things don't work out, but he wants to talk to me about every single thing that is on my mind. Every single decision that I make. Every single desire. I should consult and talk to God. So fast forward a little bit. You know, there was a lot of decisions that I had to make in my lifetime of 36 years old. Of 36. But every decision that I've made ever since then was a prayerful decision. There was a couple of decisions that were not prayerful. And then I remember some of those decisions didn't turn out to be the best decisions because I didn't really pray about it. So I meet a lot of people, talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people talk about stuff. And I have a new saying, and I say when I was talking to people and talking about whether it's life, ministry, calling, job, whatever, I would say, well, did you pray about it? People will complain and say, well, this and that, and, you know, well, I'm still single. I'm not, you know, I don't know. There's nobody for me out there. Or I'm like, I'm still looking for a job and this and that. There's like all these problems of life. And I always go to the question, okay, we can talk about these things, but are you praying about these things? So we hear a lot of people say, you know, Pastor Ken has a good saying, and I kind of repeat it because he says, prayerfully consider. You know, if you want to make a decision, you prayerfully consider whether that decision is good or bad. And then when we do that, we see the answers to prayers. And I am here standing today this morning to encourage you that first and foremost, God loves us. God wants to have a relationship with us. And our relationship with God starts with prayer. Amen. Not with doing so many things around the house, which can be a part of it too. Not with getting busy with things in life, but our first relationship, initial relationship with God started with prayer. The prayer of confession, repentance. And then everything else that we do in our life starts with prayer. So this morning, because I want to just kind of unpack today a little bit, and today I'm going to talk about what prayer is and what prayer is and what I kind of some understanding that I got about it. But then next week, I'm speaking again. And I'm actually going to speak more on the topic of what kind of prayers and what happens when God doesn't answer prayer. Because, or how do we deal with stuff that happened to us and things don't happen the way we intend them to happen. So I'll talk about that next week. But this week, today, I want to just focus on prayer, what it is, what it's not, and how do we get to that place. So I always I ask people, hey, do you feel disconnected from God? Here's a good commercial. Do you feel disconnected from God? Do you feel his presence? Do you consult God about big or small things? Do you feel like prayers do anything? If you don't, here's the answer. Start praying and get to the secret place. And I was thinking about Adam and Jesus and all these great prayer warriors. And if you see everything that happened in the Bible, it was all through prayer, conversation with God. And you know what? I was amazed when I was just reading, preparing this topic. I was amazed about disciples who were with Jesus, you know, 24/7. They decided to give up their life and just follow Jesus. 12 of them, they were all different. But they were hanging out with Jesus all the time. And Jesus was doing all these miracles. And Jesus was preaching. And like he would come out and Jesus would just like throw out this amazing sermon on the mount. You know, like the best sermon you'll ever hear. And then Jesus would go out and throw a wisdom here. And then he'll just touch someone and heal someone. And Jesus would do all these amazing things. And these disciples are hanging out with them. And they're thinking like, wow, this guy, like he's amazing. And then it dawned on me, they actually never went to Jesus. Although this is probably the things that we would do because we think this way sometimes. And Jesus, you know, like, teach me how to preach like you preach. You know, I want to be like the most amazing communicator ever. When I share a message, I want everybody just to fall over and just be like, whoa, what was that? You know, or Jesus, like, teach me how to heal people. Like these, I want to just lay my hand on people and I just want to be instantly healed. Whatever disease, whatever cure, depression, whatever they're feeling, anxiety, I just want to lay my hands on them and I just want them to be healed right away in the moment. Or Jesus, you know, teach me how to dress cool. Like your dress, like, you know, like you look amazing. Like I want some of your fashion tips, you know, like tell me how to, you know, be a better, how to look good, you know. And out of all these things that disciples could have asked, they actually realized that the source of Jesus's power and what he was doing wasn't in any of these things. It was in prayer. So what they actually, they were so amazed by his life, they actually came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because they saw Jesus going in, going out, morning, evening, you know, during the day, there's like people, thousands, multiples of people just surrounding, and Jesus would just wander off and then pray and then come back. And it's amazing to me to see that everything that Jesus ever did and accomplished was actually based on his prayer life. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, I only do things that my Father tells me. I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. And then it also dawned on me, like, Jesus could have done so many other things. Like he could have, you know, why didn't Jesus just like come to the mountain, you know, like when the enemy was tempting him, come to the mountain, jump over and just like fly, you know, and just prove to everyone that you're God. And Jesus didn't do that. And then Jesus could have done really so many things to just prove that he is God, but he didn't. I mean, he did do things to prove that he is God, but it's like he only did, and this is what Jesus said, I only do the things that my Father tells me. So if Jesus himself, who was a God, was in constant communion and prayerful conversation with God to do what he needs to do, how much more do we need to pay attention to that? Say, I live this life, and I don't know how many years I got left, but I really want to I want to do things that God wants me to do, not the things that I want to do. I want to accomplish things that God wants me to accomplish, not what my desires, even though sometimes our desires and our passions can come together and our gifts and talent and all those things, but it's like, no, I want to be, and this is it. I want to start praying about it. I don't want this to be for myself. I don't want this to be something that I really want. But I want to do what God wants me to do. It was originally designed from the very beginning when Adam and Eve were created to be in a constant communion with God and to talk to God and to consult with God. But then what happened, you know the story, it's kind of cool because you can always go to the beginning and see where everything kind of fell apart. It was when they were obviously weren't listening to God's voice, but they didn't go to consult God about what they were about to do and they sinned. And then everything just kind of went down the drain at that time. But we were designed to be in constant relationship. When we say relationship with God, it's not a religion. Christianity is not a set of rules and things. It's about relationship, personal relationship with God. And that is a prayer life. I want to just start. There's a lot of verses in the scripture, like a ton. But I'm just going to focus a little bit on what Jesus was saying. A couple of scriptures I read today. One is the 1 John 5:14-15, and this is what he says. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So that is a confidence that when we pray, we approach God, when we talk to God, we ask God, we talk to God about what is his will. He hears us. And he has a conversation with us. So when I realized that the prayer is actually a conversation with God, I also realized that for a conversation, you need two people. Because it is not fun to have a relationship where two people are in a relationship and only one person is talking. It's really not fun because if the other person doesn't get a word or doesn't have a say, then the relationship is not going to go anywhere. It's just going to be stuck in a spot. So what I've also realized that as humans, especially now, this is not to like degrade any men in the house, but men are not talkers. Okay, like men usually don't like to talk. That is why our prayer group that happens on Monday night is mainly designed out of women, unfortunately. And we want, and our prayer is, Anka, that we see more men come to the prayer group. Amen? We have some men that come to it. Then we also have a prayer group on a Wednesday morning that happens really early for men that I sometimes sleep in for, because I'm a dad of three and I'm just, my brain is fried sometimes. But I go to that as well sometimes. And that's the only men coming together on Wednesday morning to pray. But men generally are not conversationalists, if that's the word that I can use. So we actually, whether it's in our relationship here or whether it's in our relationship with God, we have to learn how to communicate. We have to learn to talk. It's a lesson that I'm still working on. But we all, I believe, need to learn how to talk more and say what we feel and say what we think and express our emotions and on and on and on and on. So just to give you a big idea of where I'm going right now and as I unpack what prayer isn't, is prayer, as humans, we're created to have a communion with God. So prayer should be our first choice, always. Not our last resort. Amen. It should always be our first choice. That's why I said start praying, because it should be the first stepping stone to everything that we want to do or see done in our life, in our Christian life. That should be our first thing, first go-to. You know, something, you're confused, you're under pressure, you're anxious, you're going through stuff, things are happening, or maybe things are not happening. Everything is just blah. You're like, what is going on? Prayer should be your first choice. So prayer should be first choice, not our last resort. And Billy Graham said one amazing, powerful thing, which is in your notes. He said, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. That's deep. I'm not going to linger on that. But here's what prayer isn't. Here's what prayer is not. I'll just say a couple of things. Prayer is not a suggestion card. It's funny how what I actually wanted to speak on today was prayer, and then the youth also are doing a series on prayer, so all the youth in the house can go Friday nights and hear more, learn more about prayer. But prayer is not a suggestion card. It's not like, you know, suggestion card. We actually used to have suggestion cards here at the church. And then, I don't know if that's still a thing, Beth, that you send it out. Probably not anymore. But we used to send a suggestion card. And then people will come back to us and suggest, you know, I should do this. You should not have such a loud music, you know. The drums, we don't like the drums. You know. The pastor should cut his ponytail off. You know. You should, you know, when you... Man, whenever I come to church, it's too cold. Just turn down the coldness. Give me the heat. I want some heat in this house. You know, whatever suggestions we have, right? And then I realize when we talk to God, sometimes we get in that mode and we start talking to God and say, God, would you just change this person? You know, please, like, they're so annoying. I just can't deal with them. Just change them, you know. God, can you just, like, you know, I don't really need it, but I really want that. So can you please make it happen? And on and on. You know, suggestion cards there. Sometimes they can go different routes. But that's not what prayer is. We often view it this way, but that's not what it is. In Philippians 4:6, it says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, God wants, because it's not a suggestion card, God wants to hear our thoughts, our thinking. He doesn't want us to think that, you know, we suggest things to him, because we will really lose that true intimacy of prayer. It's much more than that. That's what prayer is. It's much more than that. And we'll talk about what prayer is soon. But prayer is not a suggestion card. Prayer is not a magic wand, you know. When we were like back in, six, 7 years ago, we went to in Disney, and they still have them. You know, Mickey Mouse is walking around with the magic wand, and it's like, oh, and then things happen. And it's like, it's not like a magical, something magical that happens, you know. Miracles do happen, things do happen, but it's not a magical wand. Prayer is not like some secret chant or like a certain words, a certain like things that we have to say, or a spell, you know, special words, you know, ritual words. And it's like, it's got to be like certain way, the way I say things. Oh, I didn't say it right. So, you know, I got to do it again. And then for some of those that have a background, like Catholic background, it's like, you got to do like six Lord prayers and five Hail Marys or whatever. I don't know what the terms are, but it's like you got to do like six times. You got to pray this prayer six times and things are going to happen. You know, prayer is not a tug of war with God. God, please, I beg you. If God, and I've done this many times. God, if you do this for me, I am going to whatever. I'll be like the most committed Christian ever. I'll delete my Instagram. I'll delete my this. I'll delete that. I'll do everything you want me to do, and I'll be the best Christian ever. It's like God needs me to do something, you know. It's like, okay, go. David, you go be God a little bit and see how that is. You know, like, God, I beg you, you know, give just, please, God. Oh man, I don't want to wander off, but it's not, you know, tug of war with God. Prayer is also not a fire extinguisher. We used to have one around. I think we do still, but it's like, you know, you're walking with the fire extinguisher, and it's like, oh, there's fire. You're just walking your life, you know, living your life like 5 years go by. There's fire. You know, that's not prayer. And sometimes people think that, you know, when things are going good, you know, prayer, you know. But then something happens. Oh, God, please. Please, God, just please. We become like the greatest prayer warriors when the fire needs to be extinguished. Only in the case of emergency, you know, use it. When things don't go well and there's crisis, when the house is already on fire. I mean, you could have done so many things to prevent the fire, but you didn't. And then the house is already on fire, and you're like, psh, and it just burns down. So the prayer is not last resort. So, and then also, prayer is not one-sided, which means, like I already mentioned, we sit there and we're like, okay, blah, 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 blah. I'm done. Okay, I'm out of here. I got to get to work. You know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. What else is there to do? Prayer is a two-way street, two-way conversation. And it is a time, and I believe, the way I see prayer is, I believe that it's like food. We need, as humans in our body to survive, we need food and we need water, right? And the way I see prayer is, in a spiritual life, we need food, which is the script, which is the word of God, and then we need prayer, which is the water. And our body is made up, like, I don't know, 70-80% of water. So we would dehydrate really soon. We would die if we didn't have water, natural water. So we, as Christians, would definitely die spiritually if we don't have prayer in our life. So that's not what prayer is. But here's what prayer is. And I'll just mention what prayer is. There's three things about prayer that I want you to know this morning. Prayer, obviously I mentioned it, is a conversation with God. It is talking to God, talking to Jesus, just like you're talking to your friend. Nothing crazy special, just a normal conversation. Psalm 91:15 says this, "He will call on me and I will answer him and I'll be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him." So he'll call on me and I will answer. It's a conversation. A lot of people do the first part, I'll call on God, but then they don't wait to hear what is it, God, that you're trying to tell me. There's a lot of people in the scripture, but there's Job, there's everybody. You look at the scripture, every single person was talking to God. And they were always talking to God. And then I was drawn to a story when Abraham was talking about bargaining, talking to God back and forth. But God really had good intentions. He really wanted to save a city. And then Abraham said, "Well, God, you know, like, if there is 100 righteous ones, like, don't destroy it." And then God said, "Okay, if there's 100, find 100. And, you know, if there's 50, oh, there's 50. If there's..." And then the story goes on, going back and forth, answering. God is answering, but it's going back and forth. And then at the end, he realizes, like, there's really no one righteous there. It was a continuous conversation that God had with Abraham. So it's talking to God and also listening back. What is it, God, that you're trying to say? That's what prayer is. Prayer is also honest. That's what prayer is. In Hebrews 10:22, he says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance." So our hearts should be sincere and honest from the heart. I have tried so many times whatever I'm doing in life to just follow the notes, you know, just be like proper and just like things. But there's something that happens when you do things from the heart. And like, for example, when I lead worship, I lead it from the heart. I just don't care about anything else. I just do it from the heart. And when I do it from the heart, it's always the best for me. Whatever I do from the heart is always the best. When I do things around the house, when I do things for my wife, when I do things for my kids, when I do it from the heart, it's always amazing. So God wants us to be real, honest, to share what we really feel, what we really think, what really is going on in our mind. You know, when you mess up, God wants you to be completely honest with him and say, "God, I messed up today. I lied, I did this, I did that. Please forgive me." Not like you're trying to hide things. "Well, God, you know, if I would have gotten in trouble and blah, 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 blah." It's like God doesn't know. It's like God already knows everything. So I don't know what's the point of not being honest in prayer times. Sometimes we feel like we get to the mode, to the prayer mode, and then we feel like, "Oh, if I don't say things, God will not know." You know, if I don't share everything, he's not going to know. He already knows everything. Before you even pray, he already knows everything. So, like, being honest is one of the first, I would say, requirements to really have an effective prayer life. Just being humble, being honest, saying as it is. If you're upset at God, which I have been upset at God a few times, but then if you're upset, you just say those feelings. You just be honest. "God, I'm upset that this happened, and I don't really like the way things happen, but I just want to be able to follow your will for my life." And just being honest about everything. If you want to learn more about honesty and what it's like to be honest, just go to the Psalms, and then you'll see all these honest Psalms of David and different people that are really just down to the nitty-gritty, honest and open about everything with God. So prayer is conversation with God, prayer is honest, and prayer, the third thing is, prayer is simple. Now, Jesus gives instructions when apostles came to him and they asked him, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Jesus, obviously, we know the Lord's Prayer comes out of that, but there's a couple of instructions that Jesus actually said there. And I want to read this because I think this is like, This is where everything is going to end, and it's going to end well for today for us. Matthew 6, I just want to read this. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or churches and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have already received their reward in full." That's Matthew 6:5. So prayer is not, I mean, we could probably spend like a lot of time on this, but Jesus himself says there is people out there that pray. And when you look at the world today, you look at all the cultures, everybody prays, you know, from a Muslim to a Buddhist to a Hindu to even the non-believer, the atheist. He does, you know, when something happens, "Oh God, help us." You know, like everybody prays because we were born to have a relationship with God. Everybody prays. And even he says here, Pharisees, Jesus calls them hypocrites. They prayed, but they were praying with an intention to be seen and to be heard. And they had all these many words and, you know, and they were using the King James version of prayers, you know, and not the simple one, but the sophisticated one. Like Jesus, like God is speaking old English, you know, and even like if you go to some of the places where you hear sometimes people, you know, they have prayer books and then just blah, 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 just pray it out. And it's okay. Next, on to the next thing. And prayer is not many words and it's not complicated. It shouldn't be complicated. It's not about using all these, like I said, phrases, you know. If I use God didn't answer my prayer because I just used like didn't use the right phrase. See, God allows us to talk to him about anything. It's nothing crazy religious. He's really interested in us. He really loves us. And he wants us to be with a simple heart, come to him and say simply things that we think and we feel. So, prayer is not these complex experiences where we have to say some certain scripted things, but it's simple. It's a simple request, thought, need. Lord, I really need you to get me through this week. Like it's Monday, and I'm already feeling like the weight on my shoulders. I just need your help to get through this week. God, I really need your guidance about this situation. These people, they just drive me nuts. I really need you to guide me. And about this thing, and about that person, and about that. And God, I'm frustrated. I just need you to help me. I need you to give me peace about this and about that. And all these things. Simple and honest is what God is looking for. So, in all this to say, I believe that God loves us and God loves to have a relationship with us. And he also loves to answer our prayers. He's a generous, good father that has a good plan for our life. So, I'm going to finish with this, verse 6 in Matthew 6, because it really opened up my eyes again and again. Whenever I read this, it's like, sometimes you just read the Bible, and it's like, okay, whatever. But then I read this, and it's like, wow, there's actually a secret that you might have never, maybe you heard about it, but it's a secret. And it's right there in the scripture. And if you actually realize this secret, it's going to change your life forever. And here's the secret. I want to read it because it's such a powerful. So verse 5 was, don't be like hypocrites, telling all these words and, you know, all these things. But this is what he says in verse 6. But when you pray, Jesus says, but when you pray. Jesus didn't start this off. But if you feel like praying about it, or God, if you decide, or you know, it's not an option. When you pray, this is how you should pray. And this is what he says. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in a secret will reward you. So when you pray, go into your room and close the door. And I'm going to call this a secret of the shut door. I'm going to end it here. The secret of a shut door. And it never really dawned on me. You know, we do come to church and we pray corporally. And maybe, you know, you pray in a car and that's okay, you know, driving. But then there's, you know, you're alone in the car, but then there's music and there's traffic and there's distractions. And or maybe you're like at work and you love to, you know, from your cubicle to the coffee place, you like to go get your coffee and you got like a few minutes and you just pray there. And that's fine. But there's people around. There's all this stuff happening. And this dawned on me like vividly, like clearly, that it says here that God is in the secret place. He's in your room. There's nobody there. He's there waiting for you to come in and close the door so that he can meet you. So that means that this is it's like a promise. Like Jesus gives us a promise. He says, this is guaranteed way to meet with God. This is like, there's no, like, you might come into a room and you may not feel anything for a little bit, but God is there waiting for you to shut the door. And I would add to this, shut all the distractions. I would say the room that has no electronics, preferably, no cell phones, no TVs, no radio, no nothing. It's just you and God. God is waiting there to meet with you. And I promise you, because this is a promise that Jesus says, I guarantee when you step into that room, you may not feel like the first few minutes, but you're stepping into the chamber of God. You're stepping into the throne room. Whatever that room, it could be a washroom too, but maybe not, preferably. But like whatever room, you close the door, God is waiting there, and it's like he's meeting with you privately. There is a secret conversation going on between you and the Almighty God. It is like you're in a, this is your portal to the throne of God. This is a taste of heaven. This is where you will eventually start feeling his presence. And then as you pray and as you share, it's like guaranteed that God is going to be there with you and you're going to have a communion and relationship and conversation with God. God says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. So we are to do this privately, and we are to meet God privately, and then we are in those rooms, wherever those rooms are, we are to wait on God to speak to us and to commune with us and to talk to us and to encourage us and to just be there with us and lift the weight of the world off of our shoulders and just encourage us and give us hope and give us patience and give us resilience and give us endurance and whatever it is that we need, God is ready to give it to us in those moments. And I have done this multiple times, and I'm here to say that I have to do it more, because that is the time when I'm close to God like that, just me and myself and God in a room with a closed door, that is when I really feel his presence. That is when if I walked into a room stressed, I leave the room blessed or full of peace, whatever way you want to call it. And that is a secret for you as well, that God, who is unseen in a secret place, when you meet him in a secret place, removing all distractions from your life, you will experience his presence and you will see what it's all about. You will see what it's, how it's actually meant to be from the very beginning. This is how it's meant to be. Now people decide to keep busy and they decide that they have other things to do and they are just don't give not even 5 minutes to God. But I want to challenge you this week. Maybe you're like, oh, I've never really prayed too much, and I only pray for 5 minutes once a week, whatever. I just wanted to challenge you to start praying and start communing with God, whether it's just taking 5 minutes a day. If you are a busy person, you have schedules, you just put it in your phone, your calendar, and say, okay, these 5 minutes, I'm going to go into a room, and I'm going to shut the door. and I'm going to meet with God. And I promise you, if you do that, maybe 10 minutes, I would encourage you to at least give it like 15 minutes. 15, 20, 30, whatever. I think we can all muster up time from our busy schedules. But this is, and I'm going to end it with this, this is the most important activity of your life. It is so important that I don't do this too much, but I wrote another note and I put it in my office over there. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. I put this note in my room, and if you come to my room, it's kind of messy right now, so don't come into my room. But there is like there's a paper there, and it says, intimacy with God is more important than ministry. That's what it says. If you actually won't see it, you have to sit on my desk, and actually then you'll see it because it's kind of hidden. But in all this to say, for me, it's ministry, but I want to say for you, intimacy with God is more important than any activity you have going on in your life. Intimacy with God is more important than work. It is more important than what you got going on that day, that week. The responsibilities you got going on is more important than your job. It's more important than your spouse. It is more important than your anything else that you have going on in your life. It is the most important thing of your life. Amen. And if you do that, just do it 5-10 minutes a day for 7 days straight till next week when I come back and speak another message of prayer. I also want to encourage you to come on a Monday night prayer night here at the church. There's a group of about 20 to 30 people that meet. But the vision that Anka has is to have the whole church come to the prayer night. And that is where, and I just love that our church is a prayerful church. And there's people in this church that pray about things. I get emails all the time about things that are happening. But that's why we also do prayers on a Sunday morning here, because we believe in prayer. We believe it is an important part of our Christian walk with God, and also giving requests to God. And all this, like, prayer is really important. And I want to encourage you to pray more, to commune more with God, and then see what happens in your life. Like, can we all stand? And I'll pray for you this morning. And I want to encourage you to be encouraged, because it's never too late to start. Whether you are 16, 30, 78, or 102, it's never too late to start. So Father God, this morning we thank you for speaking to us. We pray that you would continue to be with us and help us to really seek you first above all things. Help us to go to prayer as our first choice, not as our last resort. And to always commune with you and talk to you about everything. Not only about big things, but about small things as well. And we want to see you move in our lives, God. We want to see you do things in our life. We want to see you accomplish great things in our life. And that, we all know this morning, it starts with prayer. So help us to be the people of prayer. We will start praying about every situation, about every circumstance. We will give all things to you, knowing that you are God who loves us and who loves to answer us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Have a great Sunday and see you next week. Tennessee area, and they decided to go there for their 50th anniversary. So we just appreciate our pastors and all of the family. Pastor Ken said will be there, all the kids and grandkids, so they're going to have a good time. And I just want to remind you, small groups are starting in 2 weeks. If you haven't signed up, you can go to kwcf.life, sign up for small groups, and we would love for you to sign up. There's a lot of great small groups that are going to